So I'm here with Torsten, Rockstar on the SQL team. Thanks for joining us, Torsten.
Sure.
So what do you do for SQL, and in particular, what did you work on in 2008?
So I'm a lead program manager on the SQL Server Engine team, and I've been working on various features along the way in SQL 2008, and one of the most prominent ones is around data warehousing. The StarGen optimization was a feature team that I've been leading through 2008. I've been working on other features as well, like plan for freezing and teams that were involved in data compression and transparent data encryption.
So those are some big ones.
Mm-hmm. Definitely, yeah.
Transparent data encryption and compression are ones that are really pushing out there in the market, and some people think are the real sort of upgrade features. So it's some big stuff.
Yeah.
So plan freezing and so star join query optimization. That's a feature that is a little bit difficult to understand if you really don't understand the internals. So we're hoping you could give us a little bit deeper explanation of what that's all about and what scenarios it's really used for.
Yeah. So the real cool thing about that optimization is that it's really transparent to the user. It just kicks in automatically if you are working in a data warehousing environment. And the scenario that we had in mind when we were building the feature were the typical star schema, snowflake schemas that you see in data warehousing contexts. And how they look like, usually you have a fact table, a sales table, pretty much in the middle of your database schema, and then a number of what you call dimension tables around it. And so this is a very small schema, how it looks like, a sales table in the middle, product, customer, and store dimensions around it. And the typical queries that you formulate in that context are usually along the lines of, well, you select a certain customer name and then do some sort of aggregation over the sales amounts from the fact table, select from the sales table, customer table, and maybe stores, and then here the where clause with various predicates over the dimension tables. So the interesting part with those queries is that most of these queries have a very similar shape. So you will find the fact table in here and a number of dimension tables as well. The predicates are in the where clause over the dimension tables, and you select a number of columns up here. Sometimes you also group over those columns, and then you have some sort of aggregation in the back. And this is the typical pattern of queries that we try to detect. And query plans that usually work very well for those queries is a stack of hash joins, where you have a hash join up here that joins with the first dimension. You have another hash join up down there. You have the second dimension here. And then eventually, you are accessing the fact table. And what we were trying to do in the StarGen optimization is, while you're building the build sides of these hash joins here, you're collecting information about the rows that qualify from the dimensions down here. And we are accumulating that information right at this point for both of the hash joins in the example here. And before we actually start processing the fact table rows down there, we try to push that information to the fact table operator down there. And we use that information that we have accumulated up there to eliminate rows from the fact table as early as possible during query processing. And that allows us to prune a vast number of rows already at this point down there. We don't need to push them up all the way through the query plan. And that gives us great, great performance improvements across various workloads in data warehousing that we have worked with.
So does this have anything to do, what is the, so a typical star schema, you're going to have a lot of rows in your facts and generally less rows in your dimensions. The way you've explained it, does the shape of the data actually need to be that, or could you have a lot of rows and dimensions potentially, and would it still get the same benefits?
You'll still get the same benefits, just the roles of what you call the fact table and what you call the dimension table will change. So we do that reasoning automatically. We just look at table sizes, and whatever is your largest table in the schema, that is what we assume to be the fact table.
Okay.
So if by chance you have another big table in there that does not necessarily need to be a fact table in terms of metadata, then it will assume that role and will benefit from that optimization.
Okay. So another thing that we've heard about in terms of query optimization in 2008 is this concept of multiple bitmap filters. Is that apply to this as well, or is that a whole different scenario?
No, that's exactly the very optimization. So what we are doing in technical terms is, when we're accumulating the information about qualifying rows from the dimension tables here, we are putting that information into bitmaps, and that's a very efficient representation of the rows that come from the dimension tables. And it's actually those bitmap data structures that travel around in the query plan from the hash joint build sites into the fact table operation.
So bitmap filters, those are generally used when you have a lower cardinality on the data in a table, so that there's not a whole bunch of different types of values, or are we using bitmap filters for a table just because it has a small number of rows, or how do we determine when bitmap filters are used?
So usually bitmap filters work very well if the selectivity of the join, so the number of rows that you are reducing from the fact table by applying a join to it, if that reduction is high, is significant. So if you're reducing the number of rows a lot by joining with another table. And that's also what's happening in those scenarios here. So you're selecting just a handful of customers or a handful of products that you are interested in, and not all products, not all customers.
Right.
And so that reduces the number of interesting rows from the fact table quite dramatically. And that's where we use those bitmap filters. We persist the customers or stores that qualify into those bitmap data structures and use it then down there when we need to process the fact table.
Interesting. So what can customers see in terms of benefits to their queries, and what would the sort of behavior if they were running a pre-version of, if they were running 2000 or 2005 versus what they'll see in 2008, and how can they sort of look into their architecture and make sure they're optimized for this query optimization, and what should customers be doing to take advantage of this?
So first of all, we encourage our customers to use dimensional modeling to end up with star schemas or snowflake schemas, and that usually gives you that shape of a data warehousing schema that you see on the whiteboard. Then we encourage customers to just use that very natural formulation of their data warehousing queries. And then if they are using SQL Server Enterprise Edition, this optimization will kick in automatically for them. So there's nothing that they need to do. There are no flags, no configuration options that they need to set. If they just follow the general design guidelines, the optimization will work automatically for them. And what we have seen, just picking up customer workloads, we've seen typically performance improvements around 20% in overall workload response times for the queries on average. We have seen a number of queries improve dramatically of up to a factor of 100 in terms of performance response time improvements. So pretty decent, pretty significant improvements that you'll get just by installing and deploying SQL 2008.
Cool. So in terms of things that can significantly improve query, especially in a data warehousing scenario, you also mentioned that you led the team of PMs who were working on compression. Mm-hmm. So compression also can have a benefit for IO bound queries, is that true? So
definitely.
What sort of things have we seen in terms of just SQL Server 2008 really offering a lot of data warehousing benefits? It's sort of a combination of these factors that can really make the difference. So what have we seen there?
So compression is interesting from two different perspectives. The first one clearly is you can cut down on the amount of storage that you just need to persist your data. And that's just a cost factor for you. How many disks do you need to provision for? How big does the SAN need to be for you that you're using? And that's just a cost point, and compression just makes it much, much easier to live on a much smaller system.
Right.
So that's the first point to keep in mind. And that was kind of the first design principle, to really make sure that you're using much, much less storage.
Right.
Now, the second perspective to that is, if you are I/O bound with your queries, just compression will help you to just touch fewer pages if you are data compressed as well. And then you will benefit in terms of the I/O footprint on your storage subsystem. And you can also see quite significant performance improvements by using compression if you're in that I/O bound situation.
So have we released any numbers yet on what we're seeing from compression? I know, you know, a few months back we were working on some of that stuff. So
what we are usually seeing when working with customer workloads is our compression rates around a factor of 2 up to a factor of 7, and somewhere in between that range you are usually going to land. It depends on how well your data compresses. So if you have lots of redundancy in your data, then the data usually compresses very well and you will get the biggest improvements.
Cool. It's exciting stuff. So You obviously are super knowledgeable about this stuff. So what's sort of a day in the life of your work day like? Are you writing code? Are you working with customers? Are you managing project managers? Or what's your day like?
So the typical day in my life usually looks like first catching up on email in the morning. Then my schedule is usually pretty booked with just meetings with the different teams, working on all sorts of different angles, making sure we understand the customer requirements, making sure that the projects are on track, meeting with customers to understand where they are coming from and what we need to do to make them even happier.
Sure.
And that pretty much captures what I'm doing during the day.
Right. So we've got some interviews set up with the SQL Cat team later in the week. Uh-huh. So do you end up working sort of with those folks? Because a lot of these things are pretty deep, big data warehouse features that I'm sure they were running into, and I talked to them over the last few months. So you end up sort of working with those customers, or
Well, there are basically no limitations what customers you work with.
Sure.
Every customer that is interesting to us and can help us build a really great product is more than welcome and happy to talk to them. And as you mentioned, a lot of the customers are working with the CAT team. For the StarGen optimization, for instance, the SQL CAT team took one customer into all labs here in Redmond, and we really engaged very closely with them and actually took the workload that they brought in-house to verify some of the performance gains that we were anticipating. And that was one of the situations where we saw a query improve by a factor of 100, and that was just great for the team.
Yeah, that's cool. So customers who aren't sort of in the Microsoft pipeline already and working with the CAT team, what's the avenue for them to get their feedback on these performance features, and how should they let you know if they're working or things that they'd like to see improved in the future? What's the recommended avenue for those folks?
Well, probably the best way to approach it is to just download one of our CTPs. Usually, if you're close to shipping a release, we have a number of community technology previews that are available for download, and I really encourage customers to download those pre-release bits,
sure,
play with them, and test them thoroughly, and then send whatever feedback they have through the forums or through Connect, and we are trawling all the feedback that comes in from the customers,
right,
and factoring it into the product before we ship it. And customers can also get in touch with me if they're interested around data warehousing or some of the other features that we have talked about and have feedback around that. I'd love to hear about that.
Okay, great. So you mentioned CTPs. We're releasing in the next few days here,
yes,
so you must be excited.
Oh, definitely. Yeah, it's cool. Fabulous to see that stuff actually shipping.
Yeah so you're going to get a chance to relax and take some time off? Or?
Well, yeah, I'll take a couple of days off in August. Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
Cool. Well, thanks. Appreciate it.
Thank you.